Well, greetings, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher. I'm Bob Davis, and if it's the top of the hour, 3 p.m. Central Time, you're hearing Basic Gospel Live, and we want to hear from you. If you have a Bible question or perhaps some life issue you'd like to discuss, this is a great opportunity to call through right now because the line is available at 844-322-2742, and that's good in the U.S. and Canada. 844-322-2742. Call now because it's Basic Gospel, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. In the last several weeks, several prominent evangelical leaders have renounced their faith. A pastor at a mega church, a singer-songwriter with one of the biggest groups in the world, have come out on Instagram through social media and said, I'm renouncing my faith. I'm walking away from Christianity. One wrote this on his Instagram post, time for some real talk. I'm genuinely losing my faith, and it doesn't bother me. And you scratch your head and you ask the question, why is stuff like this happening? Why are people walking away from the faith? Well, the Bible talks about an apostasy,
right,
a falling away from the faith. Well, why does that happen? And John Stone Street with the Colson Center and his daily radio broadcast said this, they reveal a failure on the part of the church to take the difficult but essential task of faith formation seriously enough. Faith formation. Now, what is that? Well, that is getting people really immersed in what this gospel message really is, really connecting them to the essentials of the faith. For me, when I first came to Christianity, I knew that Jesus was the answer, but for the next 8 years, I looked at Christianity as a self-improvement program.
Yeah.
So my faith formation was not very strong in those first 8 years. And it was finally when I came to a crisis in my own life that I started to take a deep dive into the grace of God. And I started to understand what Christ had fully accomplished for me through his death, burial, and resurrection. And that happened back in 1979. And I've been going 40 years taking that deep dive into the grace of God. That is where life is to be found. That is where true life is to be experienced, through the grace of God that has been given to us in the person of Christ Jesus. So what so many people do as far as Christianity is concerned, they have an initial response, and then their next question is this: what do I need to do for God? And they get cause oriented.
Mm-hmm.
I want to be involved in this cause. I want to be involved in that cause. And they go to work for Jesus, and pretty soon they get burned out.
Yeah.
That is why these folks walk away, because they never got fully rooted into Christ Jesus. They, like I said, an initial response, and then it was all about them moving forward. Well, why do we at Basic Gospel spend as much time as we do talking about the grace of God, talking about the deity of Christ, talking about the authority of the Word of God in our lives, talking about this new covenant that we live in today, that Jesus Christ ushered in through his death on the cross? Why do we talk about the resurrection? Why do we talk about our identity in Christ? Why do we talk about how to live the Christian life by grace through faith in Jesus? Why do we talk about faith, hope, and love? Because that's what people need.
Right.
That's what people need to get rooted into Christ. And once they're rooted into Christ, they'll never walk away. Why? Because Christ is deeply rooted in them. And, you know, you're born again and something happens. There's a lot of people that profess with lips but have never had a heart transformation. And when they go to work for God, they're going to burn themselves out. They're going to walk away.
Yeah.
But those who have come to Christ, who have been truly born again of the Spirit, then Christ is going to work this grace deep within their hearts in their souls. And I love what Paul said in his letter to the Galatians. You know, he was there. He presented the gospel. It was a very clear portrayal. They saw it with their own eyes. They experienced it. And then some other people came along and said, hey, for you to be a real Christian, you need to follow the Jewish laws. You need to be circumcised. You need to do this. You need to do that. And out of fear of those leaders, they caved. They right. gave in. Word got back to Paul. Paul sent this letter, and he said in chapter 4, he said, my little children, for whom I'm again in the anguish of childbirth until Christ is formed in you. Paul was not going to leave them, or no, was not going to abandon them. He was going to bring them back to the essentials of the faith, so that they could grow in the grace of God and could grow in their knowledge of Christ Jesus. So church leaders, ministers, musicians, all of those folks that have a platform that speak into the lives of others need to come to this point and say, it's all about Christ. It's all about the grace of God. We need to do everything in our power to get that simple message, yes, that life-transforming message, into the lives of people. There are causes. There are political issues. There are all sorts of things that are out there. But first, let's get people fully grounded in Christ so that they can think through those issues with the very perspective of Christ Jesus, who's alive, living in them.
And it's sad to see this when it happens, and somebody is, especially those who are prominent and who have had a place of ministry in the body of Christ before, but then this occurs, and
yes,
it's a discouragement sometimes, and we hate to see that. Well, it is Basic Gospel, everybody. We have an open line for you at 844-322-2742 in the U.S. and Canada, 844-322-2742. And we appreciate your partnership with us. And when you give this month, be sure to request your copy of Gateway to Grace, a six-message series with a study guide to equip you to stand firm in the truth of God's love and grace. Bob, it's an excellent resource that we're sharing with our supporters this month, and I hope that many will take us up on the opportunity to, first and foremost, join with us in supporting this ministry, but also take advantage of this excellent resource. And friends, we encourage you to donate at basicgospel.net and request your copy of Gateway to Grace. Again, that's donate at basicgospel.net.
Bob, our friend Wayne sent me a note, an email over the weekend, and said, thank you so much for sending me that product, Gateway to Grace. I've been listening to it, and it's been such a blessing to me. And this is the essentials of the Christian faith. That's what this series is all about.
Yeah.
So if you really want to be grounded in what it means to be a Christian and what it means to walk by grace through faith in Jesus Christ, this series is for you. So don't miss out on this opportunity to get your very copy and to have the grace of God just wash over you, just to seep deep within your very pores, so that you can stand firm in this world and live out who you are as a child of God.
And a copy will be coming to you as you make your donation this month to help Basic Gospel. Again, you can just click the donate button at basicgospel.net. Well, Kay is a YouTube viewer, and she had this question for us, Bob. She says, what is the definition of God's grace?
Well, that is a great question, and you know, there's a lot of acrostics out there. Christ or God's riches at Christ's expense. It's the free gift of life in Jesus Christ. Those are all definitions of the grace of God. The Thayer's Greek Lexicon defines it this way: that which affords joy, pleasure, delight, sweetness, or charm. It's something that God does on behalf of man, just because he wants to. That's what grace is all about. And God saves us because he wants to save us.
Yeah.
We get the benefit of it, but it's for his delight. He's delighted to do so. I think he spoke the world into existence. Why? Because it delighted him to do so. It brought him great joy and pleasure and delight in seeing this world come into being, and knowing that all of it was for his highest creation, you and me.
Yeah.
So I think that's what grace is all about. We also see it in the person of Christ Jesus. You can't separate the grace of God from Jesus Christ. When he came into this world, when he inhabited that body, and those who were there, they saw him as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Right. Goes on to say that the law came through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. So you can't separate the grace of God from the person and work of Jesus Christ. And when we look at Jesus and look what he's accomplished for us through his death, burial, and resurrection, you're going to see what grace really is. So in Ephesians chapter 2, we see that we're dead spiritually, and that God, being rich in mercy, makes us alive together with Christ. He saves us by grace. Right. So grace is God's act in Christ Jesus to make us alive together with Christ. We see in Ephesians chapter 1 that in him we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins, which he's lavished upon us by his grace. So what is grace? It is God's act in Christ Jesus to take away our sins and to forgive them, to release us from our enslavement to sin once and for all. That's what grace is. So here's how I've defined it in my book, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace. I said this: God's grace is God's work in Jesus Christ to make us spiritually alive and to empower us to live in this world as his children. Yeah. That's what the grace of God is all about. God's work in Jesus Christ to make us spiritually alive and to empower us to live in this world of darkness as children of God.
Hear it, believe it, and live it.
That's exactly right. So, okay, hope that helps. Hope that gives you a clearer idea and understanding of what the grace of God really is.
Yes, indeed. Well, Bob, we had this question from Facebook viewer David. He says, I have encountered a preacher in another country who seems to be strong in the grace message, but puts a lot of emphasis on the mandates of Matthew 10, even saying he wishes to raise the dead. That certainly isn't outside the realm of possibility with God, but does Matthew 10 apply to the apostles after the cross? Would it apply to the saints after the time of the apostles? Certainly doctors have mistakenly declared people dead that really weren't, but why would someone want to be raised from the dead if they have gone on to be with the Lord? Would it not be a cruel thing to bring them back to a fallen world? And I'd have to say amen to that.
Well, amen. It would be a cruel thing to try to bring somebody back from their journey to be with Christ. When we die as believers, when we take that last breath, we're immediately absent from the body and present with the Lord.
Yeah.
Now, we see resuscitations in the New Testament. We see a number of people that were raised back to life, Lazarus being probably the most prominent one in the scripture. We see Jesus doing that, calling him out of his grave. But that's a little bit different than resurrection. Lazarus went back into his grave. He came out, took the grave clothes off, he lived for a while, and then he went back into a grave. What resurrection is when the mortal body puts on immortality, right, when the perishable body puts on the imperishable. And that's what happened to Jesus Christ. When he was raised from the dead, that body that came out of the tomb, even though it still had the scars in the hands and in the feet, it was an immortal body, imperishable. It would never die again. And so that's the hope of the gospel, and that's going to happen for all of us one day in the future. We're going to get resurrected bodies, and that body is going to be alive forever. So this eternal life that we now have spiritually is going to be lived out in a resurrection body, in a place called the New Jerusalem, where God is going to dwell, and we're going to be with him forever. So that's the story. Now why would an evangelist or somebody like that want to raise the dead now? I I don't know. I mean, there's maybe to underscore what he's trying to teach, but all miracles are in God's hands.
Yeah.
And so we just have to trust God with how he's going to do his work in this world today. One of the things that we do see in the New Testament, that whenever Jesus performed a miracle, there was an underlying spiritual truth that he was trying to communicate. So he fed the 5,000 and then proclaimed, "I am the bread of life." And when he went away, the crowds followed him, and he said, "Hey, you're just following me because you want your belly full. But I tell you, if you drink of my blood and eat of my flesh, then you will have eternal life." And they walked away.
Yes.
So Jesus was wanted to do miracles. Why? Because the Father told him to, and the Father worked those in and through Jesus. But they were there to underscore the spiritual realities that we could experience in Christ. When we come to Christ, we never hunger again. Now, that's not physically, that's spiritually.
Right.
There's lots of hungry people out there who are on quest to find that one thing that's going to bring satisfaction to the soul. Maybe it's more money. Maybe it's more relationships. Maybe it's power. Maybe it's being elected as a government official. Maybe it's prestige in the community. It can be a whole host of things. But as soon as they grab hold of it, they're going to find that they're still empty inside. So their quest continues, and they go to the next thing, and then the next thing, and then the next thing. But when that person finally comes to Jesus and partakes of him and receives him, he is going to find satisfaction for the soul. He will never hunger or thirst spiritually ever again.
Yeah.
So that is the good news of the gospel. And so our job as ministers of this gospel of grace, as ministers of the new covenant, is to introduce people to Jesus, is to lift Jesus up, allow the Spirit of God to draw men unto himself so that they can receive eternal life, so they can begin their new relationship with God the Father through Jesus Christ the Son, and experience life as a human being is supposed to experience it, as God designed it from the very get-go.
Good stuff, Bob. Thank you. And friends, this is Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher. I'm Bob Davis. We're glad you're with us. And we have an open line for you. Time on the clock as well. 844-322-2742 is good in the U.S. and Canada. 844-322-2742. And friends, we're now inside, well inside, 3 weeks until the Simply Grace Conference coming up Friday and Saturday, Friday evening and Saturday, September 6th and 7th. Now, this is your chance to come and, as Bob Christopher says, take a deep dive into the truth of God's grace. So, Bob, it's time for everybody to get registered to be with us.
It is. It is time. We've got 3 weeks, so come and be a part of it. Like I said, there are so many Christians out there that aren't sure about God's love for them, aren't sure if their sins have been forgiven or not. They're not sure how to tap into the very power of God that's available to them. So they're trying to live the Christian life through their own energy, through their own effort, and they're falling flat on their faces time after time after time.
Yeah.
And what we're saying, it's time to really find out what this grace of God is all about. It's time to find out that Christ truly has forgiven your sins, that Christ truly has come to live inside of you, that Christ truly wants to express his life through you. That's what this grace of God is all about. So come, I guarantee you, it will rock your world.
Yeah.
It will change how you perceive God in a very positive way, and it will change every other relationship that you have. I guarantee it. That's just the power of the grace of God.
Yeah. The Simply Grace Conference coming up September 6th and 7th, and we want you to be here. You can get all the information and register online at basicgospel.net/events. Once again, that's the Simply Grace Conference at basicgospel.net/events. Bob had this question from Dave in Walnut Creek, California. He says, in Paul's second letter to the Thessalonians, he writes that the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering to him would be at the time of the end, end when the man of lawlessness would be in power. Is this the same person referred to in Daniel chapter 8, verse 24? It says, God bless you and your ministry, and we appreciate that. Dave, good to hear from you.
Well, that's a huge question. Yeah. And this man of lawlessness, and I think that's a great description, a man of lawlessness. That's what Satan was. He just wanted to do things on his own.
Right.
He wanted to usurp God's authority. He wanted to push God off of his throne so that he could go and take what he thought was his rightful seat. And so Satan was cast out of the heavenlies. He was given access to this world that we live in. And we first see him back in the garden. He shows up as a crafty serpent, and he deceives Eve. And Eve takes a bite out of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and Adam partakes as well. Mm-hmm. And he captured mankind. He put humanity under the spell of his lie. And so he was lawless. He went rogue away from his rightful position,
right.
And
yeah.
What God had created him to do. He wanted to do something different, wanted to go out on his own. And so we see this lawlessness throughout human history, and there's going to be a man of lawlessness that shows up at the end, and that's what Paul is talking about. And that lawlessness is going to be a characteristic of this world in which we live in. Today, you and I, as believers in Christ, we're showing the world something different.
Yeah.
And I think we need to continue to show the world something different that is authored by God himself, by his grace that he's given to each and every one of us. So we just have to realize that's, you know, there's Satan's narrative, what he wants to see happen in this world. It's nothing in light of what God is doing, but it's there, and there's going to come a time that this man of lawlessness will show up.
Yeah. Dave, thanks for reaching out. Hope that's a help to you. And Bob, we have this question from Facebook viewer Ed. What is sin? Is it still the transgression of the Ten Commandments? What does Jesus mean when he says, if you love me, keep my commandments? Did God change his commandments? Are there still 10 or are there only 9 now? That's from Ed, who wrote to us through Facebook.
Well, it says in Hebrews chapter 7, I believe, that when there's a change of the priesthood, there is of necessity a change of the law.
Right.
So there was that old covenant that had the Levitical priesthood. They were stewards of that particular covenant, and the centerpiece of that covenant was the Ten Commandments. Well, their priesthood came to an end when Christ died at the cross, and then at 70 A.D. when the temple was destroyed, and a new priest showed up. His name was Jesus Christ. Well, what did he do? He ushered in this new covenant. Now, what are the commands of this new covenant? Well, 1 John spells those out for us in 1 John 3:23, that we are to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and we're to love one another as God has commanded us to. So those are the commands of this new covenant.
Yeah.
Faith in Jesus Christ, which manifests itself in love one for another. Paul put it this way, the only thing that counts is faith expressing itself in love. That's new covenant life. Those are the commands that you and I are to keep today.
Indeed. Well, friends, thanks for joining us for Basic Gospel. Keep in mind that this ministry is listener supported. Your prayers and gifts are the only things that keep Basic Gospel on the air and online every day. We are dependent upon God working through you, his people. While go online to basicgospel.net and click that big prominent donate link right there on the homepage. Again, that's at basicgospel.net. And when you make your gift this month, we're going to send you a copy of Gateway to Grace, a wonderful 6-CD series and study guide to help you enter into and live in the truth of God and his word. Between now and tomorrow's broadcast, if you have a question, leave us a voicemail. You can do that at 844-322-2742, and we would love to answer it on tomorrow's broadcast. So until then, for Bob Christopher and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis with your invitation to be back again tomorrow, same time, same station, for Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.